Hallelujah. Well, how are you happy? You know, they say if you're happy and you know it, your face will show it, right? So look over at somebody and smile at them. Come on. Make them smile back. Yeah, amen. Amen. Hey, how would you like to give Jesus three more hallelujahs? Come on, let's do it. Ready? Go. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Go to Mark chapter 10. Verse 46 to 51, and you are going to be blessed in a few minutes, not because of my sermon, but at the end, the conclusion of my message by Pastor Paul Grodel and Cindy are here today from Beyond the Walls Church in Elyria. Would you welcome them? Just say, God bless you. Amen. And he's going to do my conclusion in a moment. It's going to be great. Do you ever have team teaching, team preaching? Well, you're going to get some today. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus. That's not his name. It's just Bartimaeus. But blind went with him because that was the condition of his life. You know, sometimes our environments and our conditions name us. They become our identity. Blind Bartimaeus. The son of Timaeus sat by the road begging. Next scripture, please. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, some folk in church, if someone shouted out that, would say, hey, shh, 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 you're being too loud. But look, if you were blind and Jesus was walking by, you'd get his attention, wouldn't you? So let's read that part. Son of David, have mercy on me. Like you need mercy. Ready? Let's read it. Son of David, have mercy on me. I need mercy. Look at the next verse. Yeah, that's right, Rosella. Come on, verse 49. Then many warned him to be quiet. See? I don't know what church they were going to, but many warned him to be quiet. But what did he do? He cried all the more. Come on, say it with me. Son of David, have mercy on me. In other words, she wasn't having it. He wasn't having it. Next verse, verse 49. So Jesus stood still. You know, your cry for mercy will make Jesus stand still. Think about it. And it tells us he commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man. See, they still looked at him based on his condition. They still referred to him based on his past. He was the blind man. He wasn't Bartimaeus. He was blind Bartimaeus. When they went to call him, they said, hey, blind man, come here. I'm like, look, I got a name, and it's Bartimaeus. No, your name is blind man. You know, some of us are here this morning, and all we can identify with is what people have known us in our failure, or known us in our weakness, or known us in our past. But how many know that there's a new name written down in glory? Hallelujah. And it's mine. Hallelujah. So Jesus stood still, commanded him, and he called him. He called the blind man, saying, be of good cheer. Rise. He's calling you. Now, it's interesting that Jesus goes on in verse 50 to say this. Verse 50. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Verse 51, this is a key verse. So Jesus answered and said to him, I want you to read that part with me. Ready? Read it. What do you want me to do for you? That's an important question. Where you and I are living in our mentality, either one, two, or three, will determine the answer. What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. That's level 3 mentality. He could have said that I would have enough food to eat today. That's level 1 mentality. I'm going to explain that to you in a minute, but Bartimaeus had to make a choice. And some of us, when we come to God, we've got to make a choice. We need to either ask for our daily supplies or ask for a walking stick, or maybe a new blanket, or maybe if somebody just be nice to us for a change, Or we can say, Jesus, I want to be able to see. In other words, I want to go for it all. I want to go for it. Look at somebody and say, go for it. You see, like Bartimaeus, we have to dare to ask big. Look at somebody and say, dare to ask big. You got to stop praying just to endure. You got to pray big. You got to go for it every day. You got to get out of bed in the morning and say, God, I'm going to go for it. I'm not going to sit back and be neutral. I'm not going to be average. I'm not going to let my past define me. I'm going to go for it. I don't care if they call me blind Bartimaeus or not. I know who I am and I know who I believed in. I'm going to go for it. Come on, shout. I'm going to go for it. You got to stop having a slave mentality. A slave mentality. When Israel was in Egypt for over 400 years, you know what they would pray? Oh God, please give us enough straw so we can make our quota of bricks today. That sounds like a good prayer, but that's a level one prayer. That's a slave mentality prayer. You and I have got to go a little higher. We can't just ask God to help me make it today. You know how people, we got to pray so we can make it today. Honey, I'm not trying to make it today. Come on, I'm trying to remake my day. I'm believing God for great things in my life and great things in my future. Instead of praying what God had promised, Israel prayed that God would help them function better in their dysfunction. Hold that up there for a second, because I'm talking to somebody this morning. And you might be watching online. But you've got to stop praying that God would help you function better in your dysfunction. In other words, you've got this raging anger in you. And you throw things, you say things that hurt other people, you kick the dog. You're mad all the time. And so your prayer is, God, please don't make me so angry. That's a slave mentality. That's a level one prayer where we are asking God to help us function better in our dysfunction. God, you know I'm an alcoholic and you know I like to drink, God. And I'm just asking you now, Lord, you know when I get high tonight, Father, I just pray, God, that don't let me hit nobody in my car when I'm driving home. We ask God to intervene in our dysfunction. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, dare to ask God big things, big prayers, big requests. Come on, dare to ask God. You got to go for it. See, Israel lived in the land of Egypt. And you know what that land was? The land of never enough. Number one, never enough. Everybody say never enough. Say number one, never enough. And some of us are praying prayers that are never enough. Never enough prayers. Help me to get by, Lord. Help me to pay my bill, Lord. We don't even think about, Father, pay off my house. We say, Lord, help me pay the rent. Just give me the rent this month, Jesus. How about just say, Father, let me own the building. Why can't I just own all 12 apartment units and rent them out and give the surplus to the kingdom of God? You see, you don't think that way because you're still making bricks. Number two, level two is wilderness living. It's the land of just enough. Manna in the morning, got water out of the rock, just enough for 24 hours. So we have this mentality of just enough, just enough. Or you can have the promised land mentality. How many know what that is? That's the land of more than enough. I don't know about you, but Jesus promised me the promised land. He promised you the promised land. That means that you and I ought to be praying prayers of more than enough. We ought to have more than enough to give to Puerto Rico. We may have more than enough to give to ministries in our region. We ought to have more than enough to meet all the needs of God's people. But too many churches, too many of us walk around with this level one mentality saying, well, you know, we just have to get our quota. We just have to do what we can do. See, we'll never break through on that level. Every day we've got to locate where our mindset is as how we ask God to answer our prayers. I need to ask myself, hey, Kayton, what level are you on today? Am I in level one? Am I in level two? Or am I walking on level three? I've got to ask myself that question. And I need to begin to assessing my life on based on what level of mentality that I'm on. But see, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says you've got to transform the unrenewed mind. You've got to renew your mind to level 3 thinking. Because most of us were brought up with level 1 thinking. And in the region that we live, northeastern Ohio, everybody thought, how many thought the Indians are going to lose game 2? Some of you already turned the game off. You thought, oh, it's 8-3. It's over. Don't admit it. Some of you, you changed it and you put on HGTV. Commercial came on. I flipped it back. It was 8-8. I said, what happened? See, we live in a region of level 1 thinking. We've been influenced that way. Ford closes, Steel closes. Browns lose another one. How many know the Browns are going to win today? Oh, you all don't give. See, you don't believe me because you are level 1 thinking about the Browns. I'm just using that as a humorous illustration to say we have grown up in this region to believe little, not big. To believe little. Look at James chapter 4. Second half of verse 2 and verse 3. I want you to read this. This is a great verse. The second half. Yet, right there, ready? Let's read it. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. Next verse. You ask and do not receive because you ask. Wait, you ask how? Okay, so he said you ask, but you do not receive, because you ask how? That's interesting, isn't it? How many have ever looked up the word amiss? Because, see, you think you know. I missed my prayer. I should have prayed this way. It's amiss. Swing and a miss. But it doesn't mean that. It's an interesting term. It actually means, if you could put it up on the screen, sick, weak, or miserable. Come on, say it with me. Sick, weak, or miserable. So what does a miss mean? Sick, weak, are miserable. Now go back to the scripture that we just had up. You ask, read it with me, you ask and do not receive because you ask sick, weak, and miserable. Okay, wait a minute. I got to get this down in my heart here because I'm having trouble with this. You ask and do not receive because you ask on a level one mentality. Sick, weak, and miserable prayer. And you know why we pray that way? Because we've been tagged as blind. Hey, blind man, come here. Hey, weak man, come here. Hey, woman of ill repute, come here. Hey, drunk, come here. Hey, lowlife, come here. We respond to the conditions and environment we've grown up in, and we tend to pray based on what we've experienced. unless we've renewed our mind, we'll ask and not receive because we ask sick, weak, or miserable prayers that we may spend it on our pleasures. Now watch. When you ask big or according to the Word of God, God calls that a strong prayer. Let's just use the word weak, amiss, or strong. If you're going to pray, you might as well go for the strong. If you're going to pray, don't stay weak in your prayer. Go for the strong. Everybody lift up your right hand. Say, I'm going for the strong. From this day forward. I'm going for the strong. I'm not going to go for the weak. So when you ask God big things, it's a strong prayer. But watch this. It's near impossible. Hear me now. It's near impossible to pray strong prayers out of a weak mindset. You can't pray a strong prayer out of a weak mind, or a healthy prayer out of a sick mind. You can't pray a joy-filled prayer out of a miserable mind. So my prayers are tied. They're connected to how I think. So I've got to begin thinking big. I've got to believe what God's Word says about my situation, right? Okay, here we go. The promises of God are... Okay, 2 Corinthians 1:20. I'm going to ask you to do something. You've been sitting a while. It's time to stretch a little bit. So get up on your feet. We're not dismissing. You're just going to shout this out with me. Come on. I want you to shout it out. We're going to read it together. And I want you to give me some energy. Are you ready? Ready? Read. For all the promises of God, Him, are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now you may be seated. Notice something about that verse. God said, I told you and I will. And when you ask the strong prayer, the glory of God is manifested through you. So it's not about meeting your need as much as it is allowing God to get the glory about what He has done through you when you prayed a big prayer. Now, no more sick or weak or miserable prayers, because this is a moment for God to show out in your life. This is a moment for God to reveal His goodness, to propel you and to propel me into our destiny. And we have to stop being shy about the promises of God. We're always making excuses. You don't have to make excuses. God wants you healthy. I'm glad to hear that, Pastor Cynthia. God wants us healthy, but we've got to work with God. Oral Roberts said those praying hands in front of the City of Faith were as a result of two things. And I remember him teaching me this when I was visiting the City of Faith many years ago. He said, those two hands God showed me is one is God's hand. The other is man's hand. And God said, when you do all that you can do and can't do no more, I'll take over. But don't sit back and expect God to do everything. You and I have to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, right? You and I have to believe God on level 3 prayers. We need to believe God big. We need to stand upon His promises. We need to look at adversity in the face and say, not on my watch. So you see, it's all about not being shy about the promises of God. Now there's a saying I want you to put up on my next slide. You know, a lot of people say, I just want to make a difference in the lives of others. No, I'm saying let's go a little further. Let's be the difference. I don't want to make a difference. I want to be the difference in my family. I want to be the difference in my job. I want to be the difference in my church. I want to be the difference in my community. When I walk into a place, I want them to say, there's the difference. There's the difference. There's different spirit about you when I meet you. There's a different atmosphere about your family. There's something different about you. That's right, because I am different. I want to be the difference. And this was the prayer of Jabez. Now stay with me, because I'm not going to preach long. But listen, 1 Chronicles 4, 9 to 10. How many know the prayer of Jabez? Have you ever read it? Some of you have. Some of you haven't. Jabez was named by his mother because of the condition of which his birth ensued. There was a lot of pain at the time of his birth. So his mother named him Pain. I'm glad you all didn't do that with the twins. But Jabez literally means pain. So can you imagine every time Jabez was on the playground and he was ready to kick the ball, his buddy on the defense would say, "Come on, Jabez! Come on, Jabez! You ain't gonna kick that ball, Jabez!" He was saying to him, "Come on, you pain! You can't kick this, you pain!" In other words, he was named incorrectly. Remember blind Bartimaeus? He was named because of his condition. People have named you based on your past, based on your experience, based on your condition. They've said you're a lame man. Oh, you know that lame man. You're a blind man. You're an addicted man. You're a failure. You're the woman that's a failure. I've heard about you. No, wait a minute. No. Jabez, every time he was reminded, "Jabez, time to come home for supper. Hey, you pain in the neck. Come on home and eat." Now, he may not have said the neck. He may have said something else in the lower extremity. I have no idea. But he said, "You're a pain." Every time he heard his name. But Jabez said, "I'm going to be transformed." He said, "You know what? I'm going to go for level 3. If God is the God of Israel, and I was birthed in pain, and I've been identified as one who brings pain, then God's not limited to what I've been identified with here on this earth, because I've been identified in heaven. God has a purpose and a plan for me from heaven. So it doesn't matter how scarred I am here, I'm going to connect with the name in heaven." So this is what he said. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. In other words, he believed God for level 1. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." But Jabez called or prayed on the God of Israel. And he wasn't praying amiss. Weak, remember? Weak. He wasn't praying weak. Why? Because this is what he said. "Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory." Can you imagine his family? Hey, what's wrong with that kid? He's being a pain. No, he's being transformed. "I want you to enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him his request. Say it with me. God, come on, say it with me. God granted him his request. Say it one more time. God granted him his request. One more time. God granted him his request. Why did God grant him his request? Because he didn't ask amiss. He didn't ask weak. Come on, Jeff. He didn't ask weak prayer. He asked a bold prayer. He asked a strong prayer. He asked a prayer on God's promise and covenant. He said, "Expand my territory. Make me a strong man in the midst of my pain." One thing he possessed was that he had belief in God. You may not have two dimes to rub together. You may not have a good reputation. You may have had nothing but failure in your life. You say, I don't have anything to offer God. Yes, you do. Look at somebody and say, yes, you do. What is that? What do I have? I have belief in God. Come on, tell them, I got belief in God. And if you believe God at His promise, God will do what He said He would do. Don't make me preach now. I got belief in God. If I've got belief in God, let the devil do what he wants to do. He can go to hell for all I care. I know that God be for me. Who can be against me? Shout, I believe God. But you got to know who you are. I'm a child of the Most High God. You know when he said, enlarge my territory, he was asking God to help him go beyond his norm. Yeah. Enlarge my territory. In other words, this is my territory now. Pain. Make it bigger, God. Make my territory bigger to encompass all the blessing. It not necessarily means that you're no longer going to have pain in life. It means that the blessings are going to be so overwhelming, that little bit of pain is going to be like, I walk right through this, man. With God for me, I know I can walk right through this. It's going to be all right because joy comes in the morning. Sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. When you have an enlarged territory with the blessing of God upon your life, put that slide up, kingdom life. And I want you to say this with me. It's about kingdom life. Say it. Ready? Kingdom life isn't a defeated, weak, stay where you've always been kind of life. I'm going to have you say it again.
You say, why are you making me say this? I didn't come to church to talk.
Because if you don't say it, you won't remember it. Amen. All right, we got to remember this. Don't ask amiss. What's an amiss prayer? Weak. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be weak. Okay, ready? Let's go. Ready? One, two, three. Kingdom life isn't a defeated, weak, stay where you've always been kind of life. Kingdom life is a whole different lifestyle. It's a whole different existence. See, you and I have got to say goodbye to the norm. And it wasn't even nice knowing you. What's nice about knowing normal? God didn't save you to keep you normal. God saved you to make you radical. God saved you to make you extreme. God saved you to make be a kingdom life changer. That's what God filled you with the Holy Ghost. Pastor Jim was talking about sin separated you from God Almighty, but grace, God's almighty grace brought you in when you couldn't even find the door. Here you are now, a sin-sick soul washed by the blood of the Lamb, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and now your name is written down in glory. Woo-hoo! Think about it. Think about it. I'm about to tag team here. Let us therefore come boldly. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, you and I have got to go down deep into your heart and ask God for the desires that He put there. No matter how silly, no matter how impossible, no matter how long ago, say, God, resurrect my desires. Resurrect the life you put in me. Resurrect my joy. Resurrect my faith, God. Resurrect my hope, God. Help me not to be in despair, pain, weakness, but God, to be in strength. You have to always evaluate your prayers, where your mentality is. You know, sometimes I go to prayer meetings, I'm saying, Jesus, this is no prayer meeting. All this is a complaining session, and they're making you listen. You can always tell, they get up there, oh Lord. I'm like, no. I got a feeling that Jesus has some earplugs up in heaven. You can tell when you go to a prayer meeting. You know, I've had so many people ask me over the years, 40 years of ministry, I've just about seen everything, you know. And some things I don't want to see. But just about seen everything. People come up, hey, Pastor, pray for me. The devil's been on me all week long. I'm like, well, get him off. I know that's why I come here to ask you to pray. You're praying weak prayers, baby. Don't you know the devil is defeated and he's under your feet? That he made an open show of him on the cross? Don't you read your Bible? You asking me to pray for you? Because the devil's been on you all week? See what I'm saying? The body of Christ is weak. Weak in their thinking. Level one, slave mentality. Well, Lord, just give me enough to get by. I don't want no more, bro. I don't need any more, Lord. I just want to pay my rent. I just want to buy my groceries. I want to be able to, you know, be able to pay, you know, my tithe. You don't have to bless me, Father. I don't need a bunch of money. Why don't you go to the promised land? Have more than enough so you can be a blessing. Are you in slavery, wilderness, or living in the promised land today? Bartimaeus rose beyond the level of circumstance and asked God for a promised land mentality. Now, every once in a while, oh, thank you. I didn't know I had that. Every once in a while, God raises up people to raise up his people. Now, he don't raise anybody up to showcase them. God raises somebody up to lift other people up. That's a purpose in that. And that's what God did in Pastor Paul and Cindy Grodell's life. And they started this fantastic ministry in Elyria in a very difficult part of the city, reaching people who are addicted and down and out and nobody else wanted. And they came in there with great faith because they have a level three mentality that God is able. And you remember little Jamie Abduli, I believe her name was, I don't know what it is now, but she came and testified about how God saved her and healed her and turned her life around off heroin or crack cocaine. I'm not sure which one it was, but it was bad. And in his church, we have a couple of his members here today. Jamie's here. I heard her testimony before Speaker Paul Ryan, and Jess is there. Way to go, Jess. Yeah. And Jeff, give me some, bud. And I've asked him to share because they have a need and we're going to help meet it. Come on. Say amen.
Amen.
We're going to help meet it. Come on.
Amen.
And some of you didn't even know God was going to give you this blessing. But right now, welcome to the platform. I want you to put your hands together. Get on your feet. Give him a few minutes. Don't nobody leave. Come on, get up on your feet. Put your hands together. Welcome Pastor Paul Grodell. All right, Pastor. Bless you.
Come on, give it up for Jesus. Come on, if you're living in the promised land or you know you're headed there, come on, give it up for him. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord reminded me when I woke up this morning and I shared this with Pastor. And by the way, you have one of the greatest pastors. The first time I met this man was when I got baptized here in 1994. And we got saved in 1994. It was a New Year's Eve service, so it was almost 1995. But not only did I get baptized here along with my beautiful wife of 34 years, stand up, Pastor Cindy. She married me in Las Vegas when I wasn't a nice guy. but she doesn't remember it, so she doesn't hold it against me. But not only did I get baptized here, I got filled with the Holy Ghost here. Right before I got baptized, I didn't know what was happening to me. I was just, because I was a hardcore addict when I got saved, and so I'm trying to figure this all out, and then next thing I know, I'm weeping and crying and speaking this language I never spoke before, and then I got baptized, and little did I know that God had a plan for my life. I know now, amen? But I'll make this statement. I believe your greatest struggle is where your destiny's found. And so we always look at our struggles as something that's a negative, but we need to have the proper perspective, because the promised land perspective is God can use all things according to his riches and glory. Amen? And God works it out. In Romans 8:28, it says all things for his glory. And you're good. He doesn't leave you out. Amen? And so God... I always wonder, when I got saved, I'm like, why did you have to let me get addicted? Why did I have to come from such a dysfunctional family? Why? Me. Amen? You had that slave mentality, but as you grow up in the Word and you sit under astonishing teaching, it starts to transform your mind. Amen? And so God, through a series of events, opened up this opportunity for us to begin to minister to addicts. And if you come out to our church to visit, you'll see a congregation filled with people, different colors, different designs on their skin, piercings, and a lot of people that are in addiction, a lot of people that are just coming out of addiction, homeless people. It's an inner city missions, amen? And I am so excited that this is not a Beyond the Walls thing. This is a Church of Jesus Christ thing, amen? And I'm so excited to be around mighty men of God that are saying, hey, you know what? It's not about Church on the North Coast. It's not about Beyond the Walls. It's about Jesus Christ being glorified through his people, and that AA is not the answer. NA is not the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen? But here's the difficult thing that we have to face every day, because the world says that the answer to addiction is one thing. And let me remind you that the world's answer is what this program that actually started out as a couple Christian guys, and then it got tweaked to this higher power stuff. But they started out as believers in Jesus Christ. And what set me free is the blood of Jesus. Amen? Not no AA meeting. And I'm not downing. If that's where you're at to stay sober, praise God. But let me, if you stay sober and go to hell at the end of your life, what, you might as well stay drunk. Amen? But here, we're sending people to the secular answer of a plague that's on this nation, when really we should be running to the plague and saying, you know what, we got the answer, and the answer is found in Christ. Amen? So God put it on our hearts. We by the miracle of God, we bought this big facility, 62,000 square feet. We got a great deal on it. The city shut us down last year because of fire code regulation. You know what? That's not going to stop us. We'll meet in the parking lot. Church continued to grow. People pulling off Gateway, West River. People getting baptized. It's just God's doing it all. Amen? But he put it on our hearts to open up a place, a home, not a treatment facility, but a home for women that are addicted and broken. And it's going to cost millions of dollars to do what the vision of that God has given us. And I was promised some big dollars from some big people. It didn't come through, but that's okay, because God spoke to me, says, the people of God are going to sow into this. I'm going to use this to cross the denominational lines for people that are hardcore believers in Jesus Christ, because everybody's family has been affected with opiate addiction, with addiction overall. And we've been sending people to a clinic as the secular answer, but it's... God says now is the time to rise up. Amen? And so what's this going to cost women to come into this home and receive the love of Jesus Christ? It's not going to cost them anything. It's going to cost them the desire to get out of that lifestyle. And it's not just going to be a home for addicted women. Human trafficking, whatever it is, has caused them to be in bondage and brokenness. I don't care what's going on in your life. Jesus is the answer, not some man-made program. Amen? And so... this is going to be a home. We're going to feed the women. We're going to teach them job skills. We're going to teach them that they are valuable and they have worth and that they don't have to put up with just scraping by and allowing themselves to be used, amen, but that they are precious in God's sight. And I was defined by my condition. I was known as the addicted Paul. I was known as the junkie. But now God has given me a new name. Amen. And that name is written in heaven. I haven't received it yet, but I know that I'm not addicted. Amen. I am not a recovering addict. I am a man that has been set free from addiction. Why? Because in 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says that he is, those that are in Christ are new creations. The old has passed away and the new has come. When I got that scripture, I fell in love with it so much, I says, I'm going to put that on my arm so I never forget it. Amen? But how can you be an addict or how can you be an alcoholic and still claim to be a Christian? It's controversial. You know what I mean? It's the opposite. You're either a new creation or you're not. Amen? And as power, life, and death is in the tongue, what are you saying you are? Because what you say you are is what you is. Amen? Come on now. So that's what we're going to be teaching the young ladies. Amen? Is that they are new creations in Christ. What's the program? Jesus Christ. How are you going to do it? Jesus Christ. How are you going to raise the funds? Jesus Christ. My God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Amen? We're not going to be open to any government funding that would tie our hands to naming Jesus as the answer. Amen? So where does that put the burden on? It puts it on the body of Christ. You guys have an opportunity to sow into this. And like I said, this is not beyond the walls thing. It's a church thing. It's a body of Christ thing. And I believe because of how many people have been affected by this, we all need to come together. And so Pastor Kayett and other pastors have asked me to come out and speak and to just share the vision. And so that's why I'm here. And we're doing this through a program called Project 52. And I know that times are tough, amen? But if we're going to live in the promised land, we got to sow like we're in the promised land, amen? And so Project 52 is everybody could give $1, amen? You could give $1 a day, amen? You can go without your Starbucks one time, and you can give $52 representing the year today. You can that would be $365. I'm sorry. Maybe you could give what? $1 a week be $52. It's not the amount. This represents when you sow. It represents what are you believing in? Are you believing that the answer is the government programs? Are you believing that the answer to addiction in your family is secular? Or are you going to believe, hey, I believe Jesus says and he is who he says he is. And he's the answer. Amen? Now, does that mean that we won't take women that are not Christians in a home? Absolutely not. It's going to be for anybody. But they're going to come in knowing that, you know what? They're not going to hear about Allah. They're not going to hear about Buddha because they're not the answer. Amen. They're going to receive the love of Jesus Christ. And God's raised people up in our church. 95% of our staff is former addicts and alcoholics. Amen. We have so many testimonies. We got Miss Jessica, stand up. Miss Jessica is coming up on a year of sobriety. She's going to be part of the staff over there at Creation House. Now, Creation House is under Beyond the Walls Church, and it's inner city missions. And so not only do we have this home that we're opening up, we have a food bank. We reach out. I'll tell you, a big thing now is people living in hotels that are addicted. And they're just one step away from living on the street. So we go out in the streets under the bridges. Jessica was out there, and Jeff was out there. Jeff, stand up. These are some of the mighty men and women of God that God's put in our... Jeff just got saved Good Friday. Yeah, amen. Walked into the church, started weeping. Let me tell you, Jeff is not a sissy. He's a hardcore guy. But the presence of God melted his heart. And then we got Melissa over there. Stand up, Melissa. She was a teacher in Elyria. She's lost close to 30 students to opiate addiction. She invites her former students in her home to live. And let me tell you, she's gone through hell and back, because when you open up your home, it's a risk. Amen? But faith and risk go hand in hand, people. Amen? And so God has assembled this core group of broken in the past people that have been raised up for a time such as this. And not only do we have the Creation House, but we feed people. We fed over 20,000 people last year out of a little church in Elyria. Amen? How is that possible? Because we lived in the Promised Land. We live in the Promised Land. It's more than enough. Amen? And so we're just asking you to partner. If you want to help, come on out on a Friday. I'm sure Pastor Kay wouldn't mind. I'll tell you the truth. Last summer was really bad for deaths. I did over a half a dozen funerals in a month, and they were all under 35 years of age. And a lot of the families didn't even have the money to bury their children, because who plans on burying their children? I'm so tired of telling women that, you know what, we're not open. We got people that come weekly, call all the time, and they said, hey, we hear about this Creation House. Can we come? I say, it's not open. And I want to take them in. We don't have an occupancy permit for that building. And you know what? Sometimes I just want to say to the city, and I'm going to take them in, but I can't do that. And on a couple of occasions, we have had to turn ladies down. And a couple of days later, they OD and die. I'll tell you, we shouldn't have to say no to anybody. Jesus never said no to anybody. Every person that ran up to Jesus and said, I heard you're the answer, he gave them what they needed. He didn't say, well, you know what, you're in that condition because of the decisions you made. The woman at the Samaritan, the woman at the well, he didn't say, you know what, you're broken and you feel like you do because you've been shacked up with five guys. He said, no, hey, I'm the answer. And I'm just saying, church, let's rise up. Let's show the world that Jesus Christ is the answer. And it's not about money. Because as big as drug sales is, drug treatment is just as big when it comes to money. And you know what? This is not going to be about money. Our daddy owns a cattle on a thousand hills. This is something that is unique in this area, because Jesus makes all things new. Amen? And so I don't want to turn any more ladies down. We need this. We need this. So I'm just asking you to partner with us. And Pastor Jim is going to come up and instruct you on how you can do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. Put your hands together. You know, I had the unfortunate also to participate in some of those funerals this summer. Thank you, Pastor Paul. It's real. It is so real. Thank you. Just by show of hands, and don't be prideful in this, just by show of hands, who knows someone, either a close friend or a family member or somebody who has been affected by addiction in their life? Raise your hand. Right there. It's all of us. It's not those people who live in that neighborhood. Trust me, it's not. So we have the opportunity this morning. Ushers, please come forward. The need is real. The need is real and it is immediate. And I love those situations where you're able to meet that. Amen. As a father, when my kids come to me and they have a need and it's real and it's immediate, boy, I love to be able to answer that need. And you have that ability this morning by sowing into this ministry. They have a deadline that's in November. I think it was $72,000. That needs to be met in order for this ministry to continue. So your ability to forward that past November is what we're looking for. It's going to succeed. There's no doubt. There's no doubt because the promise lines up with what he said. It's going to succeed. But let it succeed with your seed in its ground. That's the exciting part, because it's not just for you, but it's for others. Amen? So consider, thoughtfully consider this morning, as I said in Corinthians, what you might give. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Level 3. Let it be a level 3 gift. Amen? The blue envelopes in front of you, write your check out to CNC. If you're online, you can give there online. All of the proceeds of this offering are going to be given to Pastor Paul and for the forwarding of Creation House. So let's pray with that level 3 prayer right now, our gift. Amen. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you do own those cattle and you do own those hills, Father. And we just thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to plant seed into this ministry this morning that is going to give an abundant harvest, that there's going to be lives, there's going to be funeral. Think of this, Father. We thank you, Lord, that there's going to be funerals not happen. There's going to be women who are not going to lose their children, who are not going to lose their lives because of the seed we're given this morning. It's going to bring life. It's going to bring recreation. I love that word, Creation House. Father God, let it be a place where recreated lives can come and know you and continue on in this life. And Father, we speak it into existence this morning. We thank you for it. Now bless those who are about to give. Bless the gift, Father God. Bless Pastor Paul and Cindy and those who are with them today, Father God. Let this give them the strength in the days ahead, Father God, to be able to continue the work in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 What a Sunday, huh? Woo! His presence. His presence shows up. And I'm sensing it. That guide summit coming up, his presence. That's what it's about. And it was amazing how the Lord just wove a tapestry of what we had to say this morning. You know, that tag team. It wasn't orchestrated. It was the Holy Spirit just making that happen. Piecing it together. Pastor Paul has a table out in the foyer. He mentioned Project 52. A couple of his team members are going to go there now. On your way out, if the Lord has spoken to you about this, you're like, I need to connect with that ministry. I need to help empower that ministry to do that. They're out there in the foyer, and they want to speak with you. They have a pamphlet with some information about Project 52, how you can personally get connected and be a part of that. Amen? So don't just let it go with your offering. If the Lord is, I've seen this. If the Lord's challenged you before in an area, see it through. Maybe there's something else. Maybe there's something greater that you need to participate in. So I just ask you to do that this morning. Also, if you are a first-time guest here this morning, and I saw a few this morning, Pastor Kayton and Pastor Tina, myself, and Pastor Amy, Pastor Cynthia, if you're available, if you could come over to the hello flag over here in the corner, we have a gift that we'd like to give you, place in your hand. We'd like to shake your hand, get to speak with you for a moment, just introduce ourselves in a more private way, so get to know you for a minute. So if you could stop over there, if you've not met us before, if this is your first time here, immediately after the service, we'd like to meet you over there. Amen? Amen. So I see the ushers are just now finishing up, and I want to bless you today and just thank you for coming. Father God, we just thank you for your presence in our lives. I thank you for the people, Father God. Bless them, Lord God. Let their paths be made straight, Father God. Let the light shine on them, Father God, from your Son Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to them this week. Speak through them this week. Go with them in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Live right, love everybody, and pray hard. Level 3 prayers.